You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Another incredible Cooligans episode is about to start.
Okay. Yeah, everybody wait. Everybody. Here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
As always, excited after, you know, after Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving, of course. It's a little different than Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a little bit more pork products.
All of a sudden, your aunt rubs your shoulders. It's weird.
Yeah. Asks you when you're going to get married in front of your wife.
But we're excited to be here. Hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Cooligans. As always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Hit subscribe as well on YouTube. But we're excited today because obviously the MLS playoffs, the second round just wrapped up. Mm-hmm. Okay. And LAFC played yesterday.
Yes, they did.
And so we flew him in. All the way from Los Angeles.
We said, get on the plane.
to talk about LAFC and, you know, everything going on with, you know, the reigning MLS Cup champions.
Yes.
But no, excited to have in studio the homie of Happy Foot, Sad Foot.
That's
give it
right.
up for Travis Helwig.
Soundboard, baby.
Let's go.
I do want to say you threw me comfort plus and not first, and I do want to talk to someone about that.
Yeah. Actually, I also want to talk to someone because it was supposed to be economy.
Okay, we don't have that kind of money.
Why are we dropping budget?
So all of a sudden, just know that we're all upset.
Somebody owes me three satchels of Biscoffs.
But no, Travis, you've done our show before remotely. Yeah. A couple, I think when we were on Fubo TV.
That's right. What do you prefer, Travy?
Definitely Travy. I want you to lead with Travy. Now, Travy, what do you?
You give me no Travy vibes.
Travis is fine. Although I feel like I'm losing my grasp on the name with every passing day. People are talking about Travis Kelce.
Right.
Yes. I mean, we had Travis Scott. I feel like the one thing I do know is that I'm the smartest Travis.
Right.
I cannot think of a smarter Travis, and I'm happy about that.
Nah.
That's not bad.
Because usually Travis is said following, like, get down from there. That's a very, Travis, get down from there. That's usually. I feel like you could say that to Travis Scott, too. His shows are a little wild.
Travis robbed another bank today.
Yeah, damn it, Travis. Yeah, you are probably the smartest Travis.
Travis Scott obviously dated
Kylie.
Mm-hmm. Travis Barker is married to Kourtney Kardashian. I don't know. I feel like
Emrata.
Yeah,
Emrata. I saw you courtside.
You skipped
at
over the other Kardashian.
I'm good without those. Yeah, ones. Emrata. I know you're going through a lot, and you like kind of pudgy blonde guys. So I'm here, baby.
Yeah.
My wife is watching.
Right, I was about to say. So you've been happily married how long?
No, we're excited to have you here because obviously we can recap MLS Cup playoffs, and it's always nice to have someone also in comedy. I don't have your resume off the top, but I just want to make sure people know your contributions to comedy. Because we initially met, we crossed paths at UCB. You're a writer for a mod team. But ever since
which
then,
is sketch.
Which is a sketch
people
show.
Don't know.
But what else?
Wait, the listeners don't know about mod team? So Michael Delaney.
Let's go the whole thing.
So Christian and I will be back in about 40 minutes.
So Del Close. This is for no one.
Then, then our producer runs across the stage.
Shut it down.
Okay.
You better yes and this, man.
That's when we initially crossed paths. But then you started, maybe this is the beginning. You wrote on Adam Ruins Everything.
Yes.
And what else after that?
So we kind of knew each other in New York. I feel like we're friends of friends or mm-hmm. whatever. I moved out to LA. I've written on a couple things. I wrote on Billy on the Street. I wrote on a show called The Ellen DeGeneres Show, which, you know, one of the most wonderful women on the planet, Ellen right. DeGeneres. I don't know if you've heard anything different, but the kindest. Yeah. I've signed an NDA as well. Right.
And a super relatable comedy special. Super relatable. For those of you who have multitudes of maids.
If you ever want to be yelled at about furniture, you should meet Ellen DeGeneres. I then was the head writer at Adam Ruins Everything. I worked at Crooked Media, the Pod Save America company, for a long time during the Trump years when we were trying to get rid of him, and hopefully we won't have to do that again.
The good years.
Yeah.
If I were you, I would wipe off your CV, because I have a feeling this country's about to slide
backwards. I am like, they're talking about rounding people up. I'm like, how do I get on the other side? I guess I'm a blonde white guy. I'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be
all right. I'll be last on the list for who they're coming from.
Right.
For some reason, after doing all that, I decided to start an LAFC podcast.
Which is... Let's just give him,
that's it. We all end up in soccer somehow. Okay?
If you noticed when he was reading out his IMDb or his Indeed, it was going up, and then he said soccer podcast. And there it is. Let's talk a little bit about the Crooked Media and all that. I mean, you obviously were Adam Ruins Everything. For people who don't know, we both, I think, saw their packet, right? Did you ever see what their packet looked like?
Yes, I did see it.
It was like a novel.
Bro, you needed so many sources. It was like you had to like prove you knew everything about a subject. I was like, I'm not doing this. Homework. How did you end up in this gig? And how did all of those gigs prepare you to talk about Danny Bawanga?
when I think of MLS, I think of Adam Conover, really.
Big LAFC fan.
He is a big LAFC fan. I brought him to a game, and I actually brought him. I brought him to when Seattle knocked us out of the playoffs in 2019, his first game, and I was so fucking angry after that game, and he... I didn't understand how big of a deal it was and was trying to cheer me up. And on the drive home, I said, Adam, I need you to stop talking to me right now.
And for those of you who don't know, Adam and stop talking are totally not. No. Those are things that don't typically coexist. I can say that he's a good friend. I saw him at the stand the other day. I didn't know he was in town.
Yeah, he's been in New York for a bit now. But I love Adam, one of the nicest guys. Adam Ruins Everything was like, you just had to read a bunch of books and then write jokes about him. And I really wanted a job. So I think that's why I did it. But the packet I remember was controversially difficult. I think they changed packet rules in the WGA because the packet
It was, I remember looking at this and I can't remember the girl's name. She's a super funny comic. She kind of had bangs. She kind of looked like a 1950s movie star. That was like her look.
Okay.
Can't remember her name. I think she was from Philly, wore thick glasses. She told me, I think she either got the gig or told me she got moved on to the next phase. And I was like, why'd you do this package? she's like, I lost 3 weeks of my life. And I was like, yes.
Allison Ziedman? Is that
yes!
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She's super funny.
She got the gig, yeah.
Yeah.
She took over, I think, as head writer when I took off from there.
Really? Yeah. Deserved it. She was great. Super funny comic.
The most
super
complicated funny. Packet that I had that I submitted to last week tonight. And that was like... It was a little complicated and required a little bit of research, but it wasn't that.
Submitted to Deezus and Mero, and I was like, this is too much. their packet was like, just present vibes.
I don't know enough about sandwiches.
Well, I've never said that. I've never once said that in my life.
All right. Let's talk about these MLS playoffs that happened this weekend. Let's start in order, and we'll finish with LAFC because as we know that the expertise is there. But Orlando City against Columbus Crew. Crew win 2-0 away in Orlando.
And I think this was like Orlando had won 15 straight at home.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's been a fairly impressive season for Orlando City. What, they were second in the table, if I'm not mistaken?
Quietly second.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were there. I'm like looking at the bottom of the table. I'm like, where are you?
Orlando, for whatever reason, very just I don't know, kind of ignored this season.
I think the reason is that it's Orlando. I will never respect a team from Orlando that doesn't have Penny Hardaway on.
All right, good.
I don't care that Orlando Magic are second right now in the NBA. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Ain't nobody talking about
it. I didn't even know that.
Why ain't anybody talking about it?
Cole Anthony? You want me to get a Cole Anthony?
You want to get behind this?
But this was because this was the first game of the second round of the playoffs, and there were no goals in the 90 minutes, so all the goals came in extra time. And this was, at first it felt a little bit like this season for the playoffs is everything is like, is this format the right format, right? Every game we're sort of deciding if this is the format we want to keep throughout the entire playoffs. And this game was the introduction of the second round. And because
goes back to single game elimination.
Yes. And because there were no goals in the first 90 minutes, people were like, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe there should be more games so that teams take a little bit more risk. But I mean,
very quickly, everything went 180.
So, I mean, really, the change in this game was the
red card.
The red card from now, Rodrigo Schlegel.
Okay, now click on Schlegel's picture real quick.
Okay, where's the center back? Yeah.
Okay, now look at this guy. Okay, first of all.
Oh, wait, hold on. I didn't. I did the,
you didn't do this?
We started.
So, all right, well, that's fine. You won't see it just yet. But this man.
There you go.
Has a very punchable face. It's very hard to see. Now, why I bring him up is because if you remember back to probably the single most viral moment MLS has had until Messi got here, NYCFC and Orlando are in the playoffs. Orlando are out of subs. Their keeper gets a red card in the penalties.
Yeah.
This guy, the center back, takes over and saves the winning penalty from Thorarinson,
yeah.
Okay? This guy, look at him. He's a center back. Nobody knows who this guy is. He's got a wild, chiseled jaw. I hated this man forever. He gets a red card. Everyone is, and I'm sitting there going, quietly, I go, good. This was the clapback. It's been years.
Finally.
And finally we got him back. This guy stood in goal. He looked as awkward as ever. Saves a penalty by diving for it the way you would jump for a baby. It was just very awkward.
He did the, he didn't dive. He just moved in the direction where he thought the ball would be. So he'd just be like, I'm going to stay here. And it ended up there. Yeah. As soon as the kicker was looking down and not looking at the goalkeeper, he was like, oh, I'm going to kick here.
He was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to go over here.
And he stopped a promising shot.
I feel like so much of MLS media is trying to convince the world that MLS is like good and cool and important, but we need to focus on the bullshit like that. only happens in Major League Soccer, where a weird man saves the winning goal.
Some random Argentinian will step in goal and somehow wins.
So, look, but they held on and got to extra time. But once you're down a player and extra time, these players are absolutely exhausted.
Give Orlando some credit, though. They almost looked better.
Okay.
Down a man.
They were creating chances.
They were creating chances. They were getting opportunities. As much as I love Columbus Crew, if you're not a huge Columbus Crew fan, Wilfred Nancy, their coach, will send everyone, pretty much everyone, just bomb forward. Creates a lot of opportunities because he surrounds the box, but they give up a lot of chances. And Orlando figured out, all right, I think we can absorb some of that and hit you on the counter. And they were finding those opportunities. But, dude, I mean, their keeper, Schulte, absolutely incredible game.
Yeah. Also, low-key, Columbus is a low-key stacked squad. We don't really.
Not that low key.
I mean, it's just. But
we just don't know the players' names.
No, but they got when Diego Rossi came in, right?
My best friend. And Christian Ramirez, old LAFC player, scored the winning goal. A lot of good. They're actually, in the Houston game, Escobar is a former LAFC player as well.
That's right.
So we scored the winning goals in three of the four games this weekend.
That was the biggest we's ever said on the show.
We win MLS Cup regardless of who wins.
Give us a ring, bro. One of the things that I would love to talk to Diego Rossi is. He went from, click on his name, because I clicked his player before.
Fenerbahce? Where did he come from?
I think, he went to Fener, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which plays in Istanbul, one of the great capitals of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So he went, if I'm not mistaken, LAFC, Fenerbahce, Istanbul, Los Angeles, Istanbul, Columbus, Ohio. It's a bit. Now, I don't want to disrespect Columbus, Ohio in any way, shape, or form, but I would just love to find out, how were you convinced? He came from Peñarol, which is my family's team in Uruguay. But again, Montevideo, great city, beautiful city, very European for people who don't know. And then you get to Istanbul, one of the greatest cities of the world, mm-hmm. and then Columbus, Ohio, and you think, that's a lot more cheese than
I've Yeah. <You know? laughs> I've been to Columbus. I do. Columbus is a great city. I don't know how you could eat there and be like, I'm enjoying myself. I don't know if there's a single good restaurant in the city of Columbus.
Interesting.
You know what? I'm willing to back that. And that without having really tried to find good food in Columbus. Okay.
All right. Look, our Columbus fan base is going to be... the tweets are coming. So please.
I'm rooting for the crew. I want the crew to win
I am too low-key because I like Will Fernandes.
This is a good team. I thought... Look, I was kind of rooting for the Union, and I thought that they would maybe get that revenge... against LAFC this time around, this is a team that
wrong button.
There it is. This is a team that
so I love being on the Z Morning Zoo with you guys.
Columbus are probably one of the more consistent teams this season. They haven't necessarily wowed you game in and game out. But they find ways to just control games, and this felt like one of those. So
now you brought up the Union, and I just want to say quickly, because I know you have a big MLS audience, Jim Curtin is not a good dresser.
Oh, yes.
We need to stop talking about Jim Curtin having style.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Yeah, okay, he buys one fucking Prada jacket and wears $200 dunks, and everyone's like, wow, he's a cool guy. He's a 40-year-old man who goes on StockX. Fuck Jim Curtin.
No.
Fuck people who think he's a good dresser. That's not what style is. You buy one jacket and you think you're cool? Maybe you're a Philadelphia 8, you're a Los Angeles 3 Jim Curtin. Go the fuck back to Philadelphia where you belong.
Now's a great time to tell you Jim Curtin listens to the show.
Jim Curtin is a fan.
Yeah, he's actually a member of our Patreon.
Oh no! Before that, he is a friend.
Yeah, yeah. I will say this. We got to work on the jeans. Now, outside of that, you know why I give him credit? Because who else is doing the details?
Kellen Acosta looks great.
Oh, okay. Got a coach.
Okay, Pep. Looks great.
Not an MLS coach.
Bob Bradley's weird type shirts. Yeah. Yeah.
Like for coaches.
Okay, sure.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Come
American.
On.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For American. Also, we have to like.
You saw we were dealing with Bruce Arena.
We got.
And that's the worst thing he's done. Yeah.
We have to keep some level.
We
of...
still don't know what he did.
I'm sorry, Jim Curtin. I had no idea you listened.
We have to keep some level of context in like not only is it an American coach, from the Philadelphia area. Where's he? I think he's from Philly originally or Chicago. I don't remember exactly. But it's just he's also just tall white guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he
kind of looks like he's related to Larry Bird.
Yeah, like he does pretty good for it. We got it. We have
what he's working with.
He's like Tim Cook's older brother. Just like he beat up Tim Cook growing up,
but definitely got a job. Yeah.
Shout out to Apple TV. I love Apple TV. Huge fans.
We're big Apple fans here.
I think. Look, so I don't agree. That's where we stand. I mean, mm-hmm. I think your criticism is a bit harsh. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
They were told they could only wear Adidas, and he said, "Nah."
Right. That's cool.
I'm going to get a fine.
Maybe he's not a bad dresser. I think he gets too much credit praise. For what he does.
I'm willing to accept it. It's not like he shows up looking like, Brenda hashtag or something, which is a reference a couple people will get. But like the guy's trying.
Yeah.
And that's a step. Okay. I mean, did you see him this week with the pop collar and the
Pico type thing?
Bro, he looked like a dock worker got a job in finance. He's killing it.
So let's talk about the game, though. FC Cincinnati win 1-0 against the Philadelphia Union in the 94th minute. A goal from Mosquera. What's his first? Sebastián? Yeah. Yerson. Mosquera.
Great Latin American name.
Yes, yes. It's a classic. Where's he from? He's Colombian.
Colombia.
Yerson. Yes.
Yerson.
Yeah. We love these names. Dominicans, Cubans.
Well, yeah, we
always, when we find like a very creative, like we just ain't like Latinofy an English name.
You don't need to do all that when you get one of those. Which, by the way, this is why part of Colombia is Caribbean, because they do this.
Okay.
You don't see this in Latin America, in South America.
All right, yeah.
You need us, bruh. Okay. We're the ones who put a little bit of sauce.
So, but a controversial goal, because
so we had Christina Unko on the show today.
Okay, let me just explain, just in case anybody is not fully aware. But the context was it was a free kick from Álvaro Barreal.
Some would say a happy foot made some people a sad foot.
And so after the free kick, the ball bounced to what was his name? I think it was Ferb Murphy. What's it? Damn, where am I not seeing?
There it is.
Murphy, oh, Murphy right at the top. Yeah. Okay, there it is. What's his first name? Ian Murphy. Bob.
Can you make that sound cool?
Super American. Ian. So if his name was Yang, it'd be like, that's a Caribbean.
Ball right gets to him. He heads it to Mosquera, but it looked like it, from the angle that we see. I'll post it in a second, but. It looks like he essentially is, like, his foot is or shoulder is past Julian Carranza.
It's offside.
Yeah, it looks as offside. But when you look at the angle, it looks offside, and VAR did not intervene. Nothing was called.
No, VAR looked at it.
Did not tell the ref to look at it. They didn't recommend it for a review.
They said that it does not pass the threshold for obvious and clear error on the call that it wasn't offside.
Right.
Now, I said, yo, where are the lines? Because if you watch Premier League, they constantly draw the line. Yeah. Sometimes it's like off the shoulder and you're like, you're offside by a hair and fans get crazy. Now, I found this out. MLS doesn't have the ability to do the line.
They don't, not the ability. They no. do not do the line.
No, no, they don't have the ability to do the line.
They spend all their money on Messi.
We need Messi to draw the line. Messi's holding on to an iPad.
Messi's bodyguard is like, yo, is this straight? Is this straight?
No, they don't have the technology to do the line.
Yes, they don't have the technology in place to do the lines.
No, they cannot. Do you know why?
Why?
There are enough MLS stadiums don't have enough cameras to do the lines. So they don't have access to the technology.
Interesting.
Which really means Club de Foot Montreal ain't got it. I think that's pretty much what we know.
If one person can't afford it, then nobody gets it,
bro. We're turning this car around. So they can't do the lines. So what VAR does is they use what Christina Uncle called the high 18, which is Travis in high school. No. it's a camera angle. It's a camera angle from the 18-yard box that's high, which that's what they use. So Charlie had said there's some angles that broadcast doesn't have access to. Turns out that's not true. She acknowledged broadcast has access to all of them. They just choose not to show you some of them sometimes, which is another
question. Makes you think.
Right?
Makes you think.
What are you hiding?
What are you hiding from right? us?
Show Apple us the TV. iPad, Messi.
It starts at the top of the 18.
Don Garber, you're...
Yeah. Jim, tell Don Garber to call us. So they did an eye test to assess whether he was so offside or potentially clearly offside to tell the ref on the pitch to come look at it. And it wasn't enough. So from their angles, they don't use the lines. From their angles, there wasn't enough to suggest that he was offside, which to me, I don't know that alleviates the stress that's caused by the lines.
It doesn't, but...
Because now it's like you're just...
But if we had the lines and he was... Whether he was on or offside, we would still be... people would still make the complaint like, oh, the game's ruined. We're arguing about centimeters. So I kind of like... I don't love the lines. I kind of like if it passes the eye test, to me, this doesn't pass the eye test. This looks offside, so I would probably call it offside. But they're
not
sure.
But that's from this angle.
From this angle. And I know. Look, I've been having conversations in group chats and debating about this. This, if you're not sure to recommend a review to the ref, then you don't call it. And I can live with that.
I would say you would assume that there is no bias. The only way.
Yes, you should. That'd be the right thing to do. Yeah.
That VAR shows no bias. The only way to know that for sure is a couple of lines.
Now, I understand that this upsets people. But if you had the lines.
Couple of lines, Alexis in college.
I'm too fat for that. I'm too fat for that.
Great bit, though. I will say, maybe VAR draws the lines enough to call the ref over, but doesn't show it to anybody. Doesn't show it to us, doesn't show it to the ref.
What? Yeah, is that the transparency you want? What
because now there's no question as to whether the sideline judge, the official should come take a look at it or not. If there's lines and they say, hey, you need to come look at this, he still has to use a clear eye test or see other angles to make that final judgment. But if they never show us the lines, then we'll never know and we can't sit here and complain about the lines. Your suggestion, and what I think most people would agree with, is, well, if there's no lines, then we get like at least a real calculation as to how this works, or at least an actual judgment.
It's subjective still, yeah.
But then there's a chance that bias might sneak in.
Yeah, I just feel like the words clear and obvious do so much lifting all the time with this shit. It's like the ref made a choice, and I think he was offsides. Is it clear and obvious? I don't like those. That's such a subjective phrase that it's like from some angles, it looks pretty obvious. But like, is it clear and obvious enough to turn it over?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just such a bummer that three games this weekend all had controversial ref calls.
Yeah.
And maybe that is something MLS needs to look at, that the fact that like it's this podunk of reffing in my favorite league.
But yeah. This is my counter to that is all the leagues with all the space age technology still have the same podunk referees.
MLS refs are better than Premier League refs.
Premier League refs are a nightmare as well.
Let's trade for one season and see how you guys feel.
Anthony Taylor in like Seattle would actually not escape this game.
Yeah. So Christine Uncle brought something up and I'm interested in what we think. She said that there's not enough refs.
In like the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just not enough high-quality refs to pull from. So to some degree, you have to use the ones we have.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a good job to get.
No.
It seems like an awful job to...
I learned this about talking about soccer on television. You're just lining up for everyone to hate.
even at the grassroots level, even in youth soccer, refs deal with so much abuse from players, from parents.
I was a youth soccer referee when I was in high school.
Do not have the temperament.
Dude, these parents, like over 9-year-old girls soccer, would get so mad at me. It was unreal.
Yeah.
Here's my theory or here's my suggestion. Okay. We got a business idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. If you have a nation of millions of people, but you suck at soccer, what's one of the things you could do that you could create to develop better soccer players? A what? An academy.
An academy, okay,
so
yeah.
So why don't we start a refs academy? Right? We go and get judgy little kids, okay? Anyone who goes, excuse me, teacher, they didn't do their homework. Get those kids and go, you'd make a great ref.
Okay.
And we develop them from young.
Okay. All right.
Let's find the weirdest kids you can find, put them together in a building, and make them have a life that they'll hate.
Yeah. Which, look, they're on their way there anyway. No one likes, excuse me, teacher, you forgot to give us homework. That kid.
Yeah, better there than like finance.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Government. It's like making all of our lives.
What if we force way, all players to be refs for a year? Like in order to get into
that
the league,
would be an
you
interesting,
have to be a ref for a year.
You can't play pro unless you've been a referee.
To develop some empathy for referees.
Wait, why are we developing empathy for the refs? The refs need to be better at their job. We shouldn't make people be nicer to them when they're bad at their job.
But if you're at this level, and we've met enough referees now, like I literally was on the same flight with the referee from the Inter Miami Charlotte game.
We don't pay these refs enough.
I saw him in Comfort Plus.
He was in Comfort Plus, though.
I guess it's better. If you see a ref in first class, you're thinking someone's getting checked. Someone's dead.
But you know, I'm like talking. I said hello to him, and I was like, hey, man, good job reffing today. He's like, oh, man, nobody usually recognizes me. Right?
He does this. You're going to swing at him.
But there is a, after speaking to so many refs, it is a hard job. And yes,
it's not. It's a
hard,
loveless job. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard to do the job well. And if you get to, I think there's another ref like on TikTok that goes viral, like this tall black dude. I think he is a ref in like a Canadian league or something like that. But he goes mic'd up. So he mics himself up. And I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but I'll get it for next episode. And he mics himself up, and you hear.
I think if you Google black Canadian soccer
referee, you might find it.
I don't know that it's going to be a very long. But I could be wrong. I just thought, but you're going to get a lot of results. That might be like 1-2 pages.
Have your safe search on there.
Yes. So, but you hear the interactions with players, and he has to. Speak like forcefully. He has to speak calmly. He has to tell them like, no, this was the call. I saw what you did. No, you dove there. You hear every single aspect of it that we don't get to hear live while we're like watching a game. And there's a lot of man management that refs have to do that not all of them are capable of, and some are better at it than others. So that's why I have like some sympathy. But for these calls, when it comes to an offside call, I prefer no lines. And does it look off? Then fine. And if it doesn't, then if it is, like, what does it look like? And then I'd rather move on rather than we see how long it takes with the damn lines. It doesn't make the product more enjoyable to me.
I also think there's a theater of working the refs that the players do. And we as fans love our team so much that we don't see when they're acting or they're lying. We ignore that stuff. And so when the players have to work the refs in that way, which is part of the game, and they're trying to get the refs to do what they want, we as fans take it at face value and we are upset with them.
Right.
But I don't, it's part of the game. Everyone knows their fucking line of the ref.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, LAFC was doing it quite a bit last night.
Okay, I've got a new business idea. How about we create the technology for AI refs? Now there's no more working the ref. There's no suggestion. It's lines everywhere. We've got lasers. I don't know exactly how this works just yet.
And check this out.
AI lasers.
They're hot. Yeah. They're really hot.
Super hot. And they answer any question you ask them. Hey, ref, what was the weather in Cancun last week? They'll tell you right away.
Damn, bro. I didn't know y'all hired ref GPT out here.
Dude, I'm saying. I don't. Now there's no question. You'll know when something's off immediately.
Yeah, and ChatGPT is never wrong.
No.
They're never.
And then every once in a while, you just got to shut it down and start up again.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
I feel like you guys aren't paying attention to my ideas.
Another. Look, the Union had a chance to win this game. They had a couple of really good chances. And they didn't put him away, and so it is what it is. So sorry for all the dupe fans out there. Houston against Sporting Kansas City, another very, very controversial non-call.
This one's clearer, I think, to me.
So Christine Uncle said this one, in her recommendation, would have been send the official to the screen to see this.
Yeah.
Because it's a non-call. But there, I will say, the keeper jumps into the shot.
Okay.
So at every angle, you really can't get clear. I'm watching an angle. Yeah, right.
We're looking at. So Daniel Chaloui takes a shot. And who's the player? I actually don't even remember who the player was.
They call him Arms McGee.
And he is at the near post, and he does stop the ball with his arm. But
the ball is going into
the net. Yeah, without a doubt,
it's on frame.
Arms in a natural position, I would argue probably yes. I mean, they're at his side. He is putting them down as the ball is
so
struck.
Here's where this is tricky. Not only is he putting them down, but that same action of putting them down, it's actually putting it in the way of the shot.
Right.
So is he going towards the ball? Yes.
Yeah. So it just, it does hit his arm. It hits him like in the bicep. Some people were saying like,
but here you can't tell if it ricochets off his stomach first. So maybe this angle isn't inconclusive.
But the other angle that we from the front is, in my opinion, it's also clear that it does hit his arm. I would argue If I'm the VAR working this, it is that it hit his arms, but they were in a natural position. Where is he supposed to put his arm? His arms are at his side. They're slightly away from his torso. Just absolutely
slightly.
But
the letter of the law still counts for using your arm to stop a goal.
Yes. Well, this is what I would argue, is that if this was an offensive player, if a player, the team
you
with
mean
the ball,
who, like, said racist things,
right. Okay,
Dante Vanzer. That was Dante Vanzer.
Struber would be like, I can't think of it.
Can't say anything anymore.
Jeez. Wow. So cancel culture's in the sport in the 90s.
Why is everybody so woke? But if you are a player with the ball, we know the updated handball rules that are that if your arm assists you in getting a goal in any way at all, it's taken back. Even if it's an accident, the ball bounces up, hits your hand, it lands at your feet, and then you hit the ball in. That will not count. Even though your arms were in a natural position, it will not count because your hand assisted you in getting that goal. I would argue here, in arms in a natural position, but stopping the goal. Yeah, it isn't the Luis Suarez at the World Cup. And it,
yeah,
it isn't
volleyball. The kid's not playing volleyball.
It's not that egregious. But
it's egregious enough, though.
I wouldn't say it's egregious at all, but it is.
No, it's pretty egregious because the hand is moving into the motion of blocking.
You see the arm fly back.
But let's look at the arm before the ball hits his arm. And his arm is going down towards his body, but it is slightly away from his body. Yep. So
it is making his body bigger, his silhouette bigger.
So slightly.
If he had no arm, that ball would fall.
Okay. New business idea. Armless
foosball.
Look, you're not gonna like this idea.
So yeah, look, I mean, we're kind of parsing every little frame here, but as KC fans, I think have a reason to be frustrated. This feels like one. You may want to recommend it. Just like get the ref to just look at it, because I can't understand why the VAR.
But are we at a point where if you tell a ref to go to the screen, it's already telling them the crowd that they've made a mistake,
yeah,
and that they will be encouraged or influenced to change their call?
We've spoken about this I had this question about like what's the percentage of how many times a ref looks at the monitor and doesn't go with the recommended mm-hmm. call, and it's not very often.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But this feels like this one where the ref could have been like, no, I don't agree, and moved on with the game. And then but for the ref in real time, and we see where the ref is, he has a good angle, but it's I think that you gotta recommend this one. This game is so close.
Do you have the other angles, or is this the only one?
I don't
one
have them around dialed nearby up, yeah. Or whatever. But yeah, it is what it is, man. It's frustrating. But look, and this is another game similar to the Union one. The Sporting Kansas City went up against Steve Clark, who had the best game of his like career. Mm-hmm. He made some unbelievable saves. He stopped the Daniel Shalloway karate kick.
Incredible.
It was really, really impressive. But yeah, it sucks that if they lost 2-0, I think we will be like, all right, well, you know, they got beat by the better team. But because they lost by one, and this is a controversial part of the game, I could see why Sporting Kansas City fans would be way more upset. So a bummer. That's really what it is with these games. Better luck next year. So yeah. Sporting Kansas City.
We did get a new Peter Vermees. Fuck off.
Yeah, we got a new one. That was good. Yeah, that was good.
Which is kind of cool.
It's always good when you get the updated one.
Yeah.
Okay, the new model.
The new OS came.
Came was great. Yeah. I just feel like if you were looking at that, it's like take away all the rules and like the nuance of it. Like the spirit of the game is you can't use your hands to do stuff, and he uses his arm to block a goal. It's just clear that they would have scored if that arm wasn't there. And it sucks that they've had such a good playoffs and they had such a fun run at the end of the season. I was watching Cavincho while this happened, and I just felt so bad that, like, it was just such a, I don't know, Sporting Kansas City was really fun to root for in these playoffs. And
yeah, out of nowhere. I also just feel bad in general because, like you said, it's to the untrained eye, if you told someone you're not allowed to use your hands in the sport, they'd say, well, then that's wrong, right? It's the way it's written stops you from actually letting the ref do their job in a way. Yeah. And it's really dumb.
All right, let's move on to Seattle against
Did they play?
Against Los Angeles Football Club.
Let's fucking go, baby.
Out at Lumen Field. I expected
this.
This is not
easy winning in Seattle, bro.
Yeah.
Maxime Crapaud literally was standing on his
man of the match. Even though it was probably Bwanga because of the goal. But Crapaud was spectacular. Made some unbelievable saves.
He saved like five shots that should have been goals.
I mean, but that Jordan Morris right now went, mm-hmm.
She said that. Jordan Morris sounded like a Southern black woman.
Mm-hmm. He's just wearing his church hat, getting ready to go to services, just drinking some sun tea.
You're telling the truth. Yeah.
He is the blackest person in Seattle.
Yeah. Without a doubt. We've been there. It's a very white city.
Have you heard audience, some of our fans have made this joke that I just sort of love. And Jordan Morris says that we've had him on the show. He's a great dude. And we tease him a bunch because of, like, you know, he signed with Seattle and then he chose to not play in Germany and stuff like that. So we have like a history that he has seen us talk about.
Yeah.
But when we had him on the show, we got to confront it. But one of the funniest sort of things that have come about his lore is that, like, some of our fans call him they say that he looks like a boxed wine. Like, he just looks like,
someone also
he's just
said,
like a cube of a man.
Someone also said, ass player. One of our fans who absolutely loves him, by the way, so this is coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
They said, I'm deeply in love with Jordan Morris, but I can't defend when, or I can't disagree when someone says he looks like a jersey stuffed with raw chicken cutlets. I don't know what it means, but it's 100% true.
He's just, I don't know, he's just a broadly shaped man. That's
square
all.
Human being. Yeah.
But the Duca ball, but the goal or the shot that Crapaud stopped, like the chip, that early in
we
the game.
We all 100% thought that was going in.
Mm-hmm. And it was, and credit to Crapaud, and obviously, you know, last year at the MLS Cup final, the dude breaks his leg, misses most of the season. He's playing with like LAFC2 to like kind of rehab and recover. And just the wherewithal, because you see on that shot is that he's blocking the far post where and Jordan is on the left side, and he's blocking the far post, and you see him like wait there a really long time, and then at the last moment dive to Jordan Morris's direction, but still expect the chip. And that was just, I was just like, damn, this dude,
he knew he cut off all angles.
Yeah,
but it still takes like an athletic wonderment for that to stop.
It was a little bit of like, he ain't gonna use his left foot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought while he was preparing.
Well, it's like poker. It's like, this dude gotta be bluffing, so I gotta go all in. And if you beat me on the river, you bet you beat me, but I gotta take out every other angle, which means I gotta go here.
Yeah,
I can't
it was
believe
spectacular.
He did it.
This is the second playoffs in a row that we owe fucking everything to Maxime Crapaud. If he didn't break his leg in MLS Cup, they would have scored and we would have lost in that game. And again, he stood on his fucking head, and we are moving on to the Western Conference Finals for the third time in 6 years. Just want to add that. We have 50% of the seasons we've been in the league, we've been in the Western Conference Finals. Just going to call it a dynasty. The
it's a real Buffalo Bills.
And that was an especially scary play building up to that, because Chiellini, who is 400 years old, was beat in a foot race by Jordan Morris. And we all were nervous when we saw him starting for that specific reason. We're like, he can't keep up with Jordan Morris. And so for Max to do what he did was even more impressive. And then Chiellini had a great game after that once he learned he should drop back a little further.
Yeah. Why don't you wait back a little bit? But when I saw it was like a foot race, and the announcer goes like, Jordan Morris and Chiellini, I want to be like, bro, Chiellini, stop. Don't run.
He's doing like that fast walking.
Yeah.
This ain't power walking.
Your legs ain't built for it, bro. Your hammies right now are crying.
Like you said, Chiellini did end up having a really, really good game. And it was also interesting on the broadcast where Taylor Twellman was like glazing him up, you know. He was just like, "Oh, he's 30."
What was happening?
Glazing him up, you know, getting glazed up, you know what it is. You know what it is. But he was saying, he was like, "Oh, he's 39, but he has the mind of a 21-year-old."
Oh, Like, oh, okay. In the ass of a 25-year-old.
But no, Chiellini was everywhere he needed to be. He stopped very, very, like, a lot of promising attacks. And just even Murillo as well, Hollingshead as well. Hollingshead had just such a remarkable season.
Still,
it's just he's
still
one of my favorite players. We interviewed him when he was at FC Dallas a couple years ago.
He told the story about, like, you know, when he stopped to help a woman with the
car. Yeah, and he broke his neck.
Yeah, he got hit by a car.
He got hit by a car and broke his neck. Yeah, and now he's just, you know, bodying Jordan Morris off the ball.
He's breaking necks now.
But we have to talk about Denis Bouanga, because he got the game's lone goal.
The most beautiful man in Major League Soccer. Yeah. Very handsome.
He is.
Actually, since you bring that up, you're a big LAFC fan. Who's the most punchable face?
Okay.
But also, who's the nicest guy? And why is both of those answers Ilie Sanchez?
I think he just knows how to make the smart choice.
That's from the commercial.
I'm lining up to score the penalty.
Something needs to be said about that too. He's in the commercial. He says the goalie knows which way I'm going, but the smart choice is still to go in that direction. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? Go in the other direction. Yeah. That's the smart choice, Continental Tires. And again, Continental Tires, big fan. If you want to sponsor the podcast, love the rubber on those tires. Yeah. Ooh, that rubber's great. So, but
now's a good time to tell you Continental Tires listens to our podcast. Now imagine.
It's just everything you bring up listens to our podcast. The company's all like, yep.
I got Continental Tire on the phone. They want to speak to you.
Hi, this is Bob Continental. But what did you say about us?
If I die from a mail bomb, it was Jim Curtin.
Yeah, dude, there were product triangles everywhere.
Just shot directly, man. I still feel bad. I wish I didn't say it.
Yeah, it's all good.
Bouanga is very, very handsome. Love it, he's a handsome guy. His hair is very always perfectly coiffed. Right,
I don't know if this is true, but you can tell that when you walk into a room that he's in, you can smell the cologne.
Yeah, 100%. Also, a room he was just in, you can still smell the cologne. 100%.
An apartment he moved out of years ago.
Yeah. Now, if you, this is what I don't like about Denis Bouanga. If you just draw a stick down the side of D, it becomes penis Bouanga.
Damn, bro! How childish we need to be on this show. I mean, we should have some standard.
Now you're just trying to impress me. With this thing. You're like, oh, Travis is here. Yeah. We know what he likes.
Oh, he's a writer. Well, then let me show you.
I saw that Adam reads everything. Did you know that a D looks like a P?
Adam, why won't you talk about this?
I just ruined something, Adam.
Actually,
okay.
Bro, when he did the jaywalking one, I was like, bro, you're gone too far. You broke down jaywalking?
But the goal, okay, the goal from Bouanga, which was a great, you got to give credit to the goal.
It was a very Denis Bouanga moment, though, because he could have passed the three of them.
That is true. But the dummy from Christian Oliveira.
Yeah.
That was the play. As soon as that happened, I was just like, yo. You know, because one thing that was entertaining about this game, even though Jordan Morris and Chiellini, you knew who they, you know, he was trying to like outrun him, but I would love to see, I'd pay to see a straight up race between Denis Bouanga and Nuhu. Just a straight up one on one race to see who is faster.
Can I tell you how that ends?
How does that end?
Nuhu red card.
He's like, what? I can't 2 foot somebody in a race?
Because there were a couple times where Bouanga, and I'm sure he's done this against other teams, but he was just like, yo, I'm just going to hit. I'm not going to do any fancy moves. Yeah. I'm just going to hit the ball past you and run over there and get it before
I'm gonna
you
hit
can.
R2, and I'm going to burn past all y'all.
And what normally happens from having watched him, either he beats them or they foul him and we get a free kick.
Right.
It's a really smart move from him. But what you said about Oliveira, Vince La Rosa, who is a host on Happy Foot Saturday with
homie,
me.
Also the name of a manager for a wrestler on WWE. Doesn't Vince La Rosa sound like he's standing next to the tag team champions of the world?
He used to work at LAFC. He's a very smart guy. He came over to help us out. And on our post-game show on YouTube last night, pointed out that like Christian Oliveira is a 21-year-old kid, just came over to the team. A 21-year-old forward is going to want to score in the playoffs. And the fact that he had the intelligence to be like, Bawanga's right there. I don't need the moment. Right. And I will get open in case he decides to pass, which he never will. but that it's a big moment for a kid to make that smart of a choice this early on the team at LAFC.
I agree. And that brings me to two things I want to say about Christian Oliveira. One, you ain't got it to be a striker then. you dummy, so someone else can score a buddy. You get paid for goals. And two, you're going to go to Fenerbahce, and then you're going to end up on Columbus. you're Uruguayan in Los Angeles.
We've seen the career path.
We know how it goes, dude.
No, it was...
Start eating cheese now. Get your body used to it.
And look, and Bwanga scored how many goals? 17, 16 goals this season?
Click on his name.
I mean, he...
He's had an absolutely incredible year. Golden Boot, right?
Golden Boot. Yeah, and also, he is either the fifth or sixth right now in the world for most goals across competitions.
Bwanga has 24 goals.
Fifth or sixth.
Okay. Yeah. You're not British.
And the fact that he could be on that list and not win MLS MVP is infuriating. There are four or five people who have scored more goals than him on the fucking planet. And yet we think some man in Cincinnati, there's no one in Cincinnati better than Eddie Bwanga. They put chili on pasta there. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
No. Well, look, and yes, we did get the news.
It is good if you're constipated. And that is very important.
We did get the news that the MLS MVP has been awarded to Lucho Acosta of FC Cincinnati.
By the way, qualifies to play for the United States of America now.
Is it official that he became a citizen?
I think he has a green card.
You need to be a citizen. Yeah. It's not green card.
You could do green card.
I don't know.
I don't know. He was in the process.
You need to have lived here for 5 years.
I'll make a phone call. Biden, baby. And be a citizen.
Ilya Sanchez now can do it.
Yeah. Yes, he is a citizen. Yes, I did see that. But look, so I understand I voted for Lucho Acosta for I don't mean to upset you, but mainly because
this has been fun. Yeah. I forgot to vote. I was like, I'll do it later. And they're like, it's done by noon. I'm like, that's not
you're the reason
happen.
RFK Jr. is going to be president. You're like, I'll get around to it.
100% we'll forget to vote that day.
So, I think because of the combination of goals and assists is why Lucho Acosta got my vote. I mean, he's just such.
He's also dominant on the best team in the league and over the course of an entire season.
So I'll just say,
if you take Denny Bwanga off LAFC, we would have won 3 games this season. Like, he was so fucking important to the team.
Yeah,
we
but
could
if you take Lucho Acosta out of FC Cincinnati, you remember their Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right, that's fair. That's fair. And they do put chili on pasta.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't
really
forget.
Important.
Can't forget that.
Really God, important. I want them to lose. I really don't want to have to go to Cincinnati for the finals. Well,
yeah. Get your flight now.
So,
they're
so
that good.
We do have the so we know obviously the
dude, the hell is real.
Final. Hell is real.
That'll be cool.
This is going to be huge.
Well, that's why I think the Columbus game happened before the Cincy Union game. So I think part of it was like VR was like, I kind of want to see that. Mm-hmm. Field, yeah. Let me know.
VR was like, bro, I already bought flights.
So, I still think it's possible Inter Miami will be in the MLS Cup final. I don't know how.
They'll figure it
they're
out.
They're going to figure it out.
It's going to be a testimonial for Messi.
But the conference finals are happening on Saturday, December 2nd. FC Cincinnati against Columbus Crew, 6 p.m. Eastern. And LAFC against Houston Dynamo.
I will say this, outside of the handball, I think Houston is probably the most defensively impressive team left in the playoffs. But I think that will get sort of minimized when you go to LAFC. Because that home crowd for LAFC, and that not just because you're here, 32-52, it's, you know, home field advantage is a significant thing in MLS. And I think that might be just a little too much for
this. This is going to be a tough one. I think Cincinnati should win against Columbus.
It should be Cincy LAFC in the final.
So I don't know. Houston have been surprisingly really, really good. And Hector Herrera, H.H.
He's winning absolutely insane.
And it's just one of those things where he's an older player. And he is not the fastest on the pitch, but the dude just knows. He knows where to sort of place the ball where other people are not going to be. But he's also like a sturdy player. Like nobody can really knock him off the ball.
He's Mexican Jordan Morris. He's Jordan. He's Jordan Maurice.
He's a Jersey stuff with Al Pastor.
Yeah. Oh, man. I am so hungry now.
A lot of LAFC fans are discounting the Dynamo, and I think they're dumb. We were all nervous about the Seattle game because we had not won in Seattle since our first game ever. We had not won at Lumen Field or CenturyLink or whatever since our very first game in the season, of our team history. And so we all were very nervous about that game and sort of just assume we could beat Houston. Houston has beaten us twice this year. We have not beaten Houston.
Yeah.
And Seattle hadn't scored a goal on us. So I think we need to not be as we shouldn't look past Houston. I will say BMO is a place that is tough to play in, though.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Still hate the fact it's not called Bank of California Stadium.
Yeah, it's
anymore.
Weird.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Houston had, LAFC had some real ups and downs this season. So I think right now you're both heavily in form.
Yeah.
Again, you're going to need Maxim Crabeau to really step up the same way he did in the last match, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not going to be an easy game. And I guess you was have to favor LAFC because they're at home.
Because they're home. Home field advantage, especially in MLS playoffs.
But
is huge.
Houston has been.
No one tells Seattle.
But Houston's been really good. So
Orlando.
And they did look pretty sharp against Sporting Kansas City. Yeah, it required a bunch of saves from Steve Clark. Steve Clark also has to step up as well because he's going to, the attacking threats on LAFC are a little bit better than Sporting Kansas City. So it will be challenging. All right.
I just quickly want to say Steve Clark looks like a bartender who would offer you drugs.
Hey, you got to make a little money on the side.
A little redundant, though, right? I mean, you know. Steve Clark is surprisingly also not super tall and still make some pretty remarkable saves. He's not that big a dude.
Here's something I learned not that long ago. Shorter goalkeepers have a better save percentage than taller goalkeepers.
Yeah, this came up with like a Nick Raimondo thing or something like that.
Yeah, because they can stop shorter shots.
Yeah. Can we guess Steve Clark's height? I mean,
Hold on, if you kick,
I can look it up.
Come on.
Sorry, too late.
Oh, but it's in centimeters. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything to me.
I was going to guess 188 centimeters. And now here we are. Let's Google that real quick to figure out what that is in feet.
Are you going to tell us?
Yeah, I got it. Well, okay. Do you want it? I have it here.
Wait,
you
guess. 6'1".
6'2".
Wow. Okay. It doesn't look 6'2". I'll be honest. All right, not that short, but for a goalkeeper, a lot of goalkeepers are like 6'4", 6'5". So
His wingspan is not that crazy. That's the thing.
Okay, so obviously having a good playoff so far.
Also, the disrespect to put his height in centimeters and his market value in euros. Something less, dog. Step up, fat mob.
Steve Clark was the goalkeeper that gave up the early goal against Columbus in the 2016 MLS Cup final when Portland. When Valeri scored in like the first like 30 seconds of the game, Steve Clark was the guy that made the error that gave up.
He also was a character with no dialogue in the first season of The Office. You can't prove I'm wrong. You all looked at his face and go, "That's actually possible." Yeah.
All right, we got to wrap up.
He's a CAA.
There's a couple of things we didn't get to. Obviously, it's all MLS playoffs, but we're gonna talk. Arsenal being on top.
Top of the league.
Good for you.
Let's go.
We're going to talk about the Everton protest. We didn't get to.
Oh, can I upset you about Everton real quick?
I would love being upset
about
Everton.
Do we have like 30 seconds?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, hold on. I got to pull it up.
I'm sorry to everyone that I made them talk about MLS.
No. This was great.
No, this is what we wanted. Okay, so Everton lost 3-0.
Yes, Garnacho scored that ridiculous goal. Yes.
Can you guess Manchester United's XG?
Oh, I kind of saw this. It was definitely under 1.
No, it was 2.22.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to guess Everton's? Again, they lost 3-0.
They lost 3-0. That it had to be like 5.
There was 2.47. Okay. So you have better XG, but you lost 3-0.
Yeah.
If you look at the heat map, bro, you guys got nothing in the opponent's box, bro.
Bro, we got a couple shots that should have gone in, did not.
But Jack Harrison looked good.
He did look good.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
All right. Some positive.
What are you going to do? I mean, just the protest.
3-0.
The protest was the man of the match.
You should have won that game.
Okay.
And that was 3-0.
Let's wrap up. Travis, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, make sure you go check out Happy Foot, Sad Foot. Follow Happy Foot, Sad Foot there on Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on YouTube. I love seeing people in the comedy world really care about the sport and especially care about MLS and care about American soccer. I think it's, you know, we've always said it's just a, it's two niches that have really never crossed paths, and it's like, it's long overdue. So I'm happy to see that you're making the contributions to the game.
And I've said this to both of you guys, we couldn't have done it without your inspiration. You both are very, very good at what you do, and you do it while knowing so much more than I do about soccer. So you guys are great, and it means a lot that you invited me to be here. And if anyone wants to hang out in our YouTube, we love when people heckle us. So after every game, we have a live stream. So come and make fun of us. And you can call in. Anyone can call in. We've yet to have someone call in and be mean to us to our faces. And we want it so bad.
Well, a bunch of people just accepted your challenge.
Okay. You expect a call in by Jim Curtin. Yeah. I heard you've been talking about me, Trav.
Yeah.
How it would rule to fist fight. I know I would lose. But it would be such a good story to get my ass kicked by Jim Curtin.
You would lose so bad. Hard.
He is a former athlete and he's like in great shape. He wouldn't get a stitch of blood on his outfit.
All right, Travis Helwig, everybody. Also, you, Travis Helwig is also your like socials. And
yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But all that stuff's sad now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do that. But no, we seriously appreciate it. We had a great time. Thank you so much for coming through. Make sure you follow him. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. You can follow our Instagram and do all of that. Jazz,
please do
subscribe on YouTube as well, TikTok, Twitter, X, whatever the hell you
want to call
it.
DraftKings Network, always love our DraftKings Network.
Shouts to DraftKings Network. Shouts to Coors Light, of course.
I love gambling. I love beer.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, they go hand in hand.
They go great together.
It makes me better at it. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back. Actually, so just a quick update. We'll be back next week. We're sort of taking off this Thursday because we have
a
project that we have to go be a part of. So we will have a special episode.
We're styling Jim Curtin. It's about time you know.
We have a so on Thursday we're going to be have a special episode, the trivia episode with Dax McCarty.
This is huge.
Dan Gargan,
Major League Journeyman.
Yeah. Major League Journeyman. Those guys. So we're going to have the trivia episode that'll be on the podcast. And a lot of people on the audio side may have not heard it, but it's seriously one of the like favorite things that we've ever done. Really, really fun. Just have a trivia challenge with a bunch of MLS players.
Yeah, shouts to Mike and shouts to their producer who put together a whole game show for
dude. It was,
yeah,
five
it was really
of
good.
To take part
it's really
in.
Good.
It's so dope. So
it's already up on YouTube too. So check it out if you want to see the video. Podcast will be up on Thursday, and also check out the rest of our socials throughout the week. We'll still be posting like we always do. We've got a ton of content for you guys. So
right,
we'll be here.
So we'll be back next week on Monday. You know, live again in studio. So all right, we will see you then, everybody. Take care. Hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Be well. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.